The definition of Oasis, Neil Boron, live.
So I've gotten a lot of emails, text messages, comments, particularly when we were out and about for the six nights of the Date Night Comedy Tour. A lot of comments about the 12-step series and people saying, I sure enjoy listening to that. Many of you indicating that you've had times in your life where you were involved in a 12-step program of some kind. And the conversation we're having here is not about that. You don't have to be involved in a 12-step program. We'll explain that in a minute. But we're looking at the principles, the concepts, because they're based in Scripture. And the belief here is that God's Word shows us the path to healing in our lives. And we've learned so much during this whole thing. Lisa Kratz-Thomas is one of our guests who's been joining us on Monday. She's co-author of the book Light in Our Darkness. And Lisa, how are you?
I am just fabulous. I am so excited for today. I just think it's going to be a great show, and God has really been speaking to my heart about this, Neil, so I am so ready to roll.
Uh-oh. Okay. Because an average day is good. This is going to be unbelievable. And let me welcome Kathy back as well, who's down there in Texas, probably enjoying a heat wave. We almost got blown out of town yesterday, Kathy. 70-mile-an-hour winds here, but how are you?
Doing so well, and I'm with Lisa. I'm so excited to talk about this step because it is so remarkable, and we're going to have a fun show today. I can just feel it.
All right. Well, Lord, bless us as we prayed earlier and asked that your Holy Spirit would take control. We give this time to you, and it might seem unusual for somebody who just turned on the radio to hear people saying we're gifting this time back to God, but Lord, it belongs to you anyway, and so take it and transform all of us, including Lisa, Kathy, and myself, and the Zach Man. Transform us by your presence, and let this conversation be life-giving for all who listen, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So I want to, before we go any further, just want to remind everyone, I said this at the outset, but on Monday, April 8th, you guys are going to be in studio. This is going to be awesome because Lisa, you'll be sitting right there, and Kathy, you'll be sitting right there, and we got the Zach Man on the other side of the glass, and we'll get to do this face-to-face. But the day before, you're going to be at City Church in Batavia. And, of course, that's not too far from Buffalo and actually halfway between Buffalo and Rochester. How exciting is that? You guys are coming to the area. This is going to be awesome.
It's going to be great.
Mm-hmm. It really is. I mean, I was in Batavia in September, October, and the people were just so awesome and so welcoming and so loving. And I got a chance to come into the studio and meet you guys face-to-face because I was like, I'm not driving or flying all the way to Buffalo to Batavia and not meet Neil Boron and Zach Boron. And it was just a pleasure, and it was so awesome to just, it's like your family when you meet other believers that have a passion for Christ. So, we're definitely psyched about coming.
Well, Kathy, Niagara Falls might be more exciting than meeting Zach and I, but still, we're going to love to have you in the area as well.
It's close. It's a race. But I think we're going to like meeting you a little bit better than Niagara Falls. But no, I'm really excited about coming up there. It's going to be great.
Well, I would like to invite anyone who's been listening to this series and has been blessed and encouraged. Maybe you're part of a 12-step group, maybe not. But to mark your calendar, save the date, Sunday, April 7th, and be at City Church in Batavia. We'll tell you more about the details, but for the morning service there in Batavia, and then, of course, on Monday, you'll be here. And who knows, there may be somewhere else where you're involved in a book signing or something. We haven't figured all that out, but we'll be talking about it in the days ahead. But all right, so there's a lot of energy, a lot of excitement about Step 6, and I get the feeling, having made the searching and fearless moral inventory in Step 4 and then admitting to God and to ourselves and to others the exact nature of our wrongs, that it feels like we're on the precipice of change. So I don't know where we start here, but Lisa, you usually describe the steps themselves. So let's start with you, and then we'll throw it to Kathy and find out what you guys have to say about Step 6.
Well, okay. Step 6 is we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. You know, it's quite amazing in the 12-step literature that there isn't a lot written about Step 6 or Step 7, which indicates to me that that God does the work, and it requires willingness from us. And it's really the beginning of a lifetime job. It's not something you do once. It's something that we do on a regular basis. We're always turning our defects, our wrongdoings, our sin, all of those things over to the Lord. And I remember my first sponsor in 12 Steps said to me, I would say, I'm trying to do it. And I would be told, no, trying is dying. Because if you're trying, it's in your own will. You have to surrender to win. And so that was a concept that really stuck with me. Surrender to win. Because usually when you surrender, you wave your white flag and you give up in a sense of losing. But in this sense, you surrender to God to win.
Okay, let me just piggyback that, and then Kathy will get to you in a second. But follow up real quick. Because in the body of Christ, if anybody's listening here who's been in the church for a long time, you know, like decades, there's a sense that we need to do more and try harder. So the idea of, but you said trying is dying, and the whole premise of this conversation all along has been that these steps are rooted in the truth of God's word. So help us from a biblical perspective, you know, without going into too much detail, how that can be really God's plan, because the sense you get is that you should try harder. But I'm with you. I think surrender is where the victory is at. But how do you describe that?
Well, I love in Psalm 51 where it says, you do not desire sacrifice, or would I offer one? You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. So if God is accepting that broken spirit, and he will not deny us for sharing that weakness with him, then that is surrendering to win. I mean, all the doing in the world is not going to buy us peace of mind. The only thing that gives us peace of mind is aligning our will up with that of God.
It makes so much sense. Kathy, All right, your thoughts generally about step six, but also on this question?
Yeah, no, and what you pulled out, Neil, is so good. It's like a pivotal understanding, which is what makes step six a real mystery until you actually start working it. But to me, step six could be just summed up as agreeing to the process of sanctification in my life. So I've admitted I have failed. I've come to realize that God can actually do something about this mess I've made of my life. Then I ask him to do it by turning my will and my life over to him. And then I show that I'm going to cooperate by doing the personal inventory and then admitting these things, being truthful, vulnerable, and honest about the patterns in my life. And that lands me at step six, which is simply, it says we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. That entirely ready part is I'm saying I am willing to enter into this process of sanctification, which we know we cannot do in our own effort. So, you know, the point that you bring out is so good, Neil. You know, in Galatians 3:3, it says, how foolish can you be after starting your Christian lives in the Spirit? Why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? And so we come to know God through the Spirit, and we now need to rely on the Holy Spirit to do this process in our life. We cannot get rid of these things by our own human effort. It has to be a spiritual transformation that is God removing the defects of character.
I'm not going to go into too much detail, but I can tell you that over the last couple of years, I've seen conversations that almost are mini wars over this issue happen mm-hmm. between friends and others in the body of Christ, including some emails that have been sent to me about some of the things I've said on the air, because I'm with you guys that I believe Galatians 3:3, I quote that a lot. Kathy, it's funny mm-hmm. that you brought that up, and you're quoting it from a slightly different version, but the point right. is, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, will you now be perfected by the flesh, by human yeah. effort? Okay, so then what's weird is that sometimes, like, these phrases fly around in Christian circles where somebody will say, well, you know, the Christian life is impossible to live. So you got to let Jesus live it through you, you know. And we all go, oh yeah, mm-hmm. amen. Like we believe it, but then we don't believe it because we turn around and say, oh, I failed again. I'm going to have to double down and try harder. And it's like the focus then is our human effort as opposed to the surrender part that you're talking about earlier. So I guess I just want to make a point here, and one of you feel free to respond, but like it seems to me that there's real value in understanding and embracing step six, maybe even memorizing it, because it keeps us focused on the fact that it's God who's going to do this work. And by the way, Philippians 1:6 says we can be confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. I think the reservation is that people say, well, if you just throw your hands up and surrender and you just like let God do the work, then it must be like you're just slacking. What, are you going to go on vacation and turn out different at the end of the vacation because God did a bunch of work in you? It sounds too lazy or something. It sounds spiritually lazy, but I know that's not what you're saying. So someone help provide even more understanding here.
Go ahead, Lisa. I don't think we're saying that at all. We're saying that our participation in it is letting go. That's our participation.
Mm-hmm.
There's a story that goes around in 12 step, and it's you're in the water and you're holding a rock, okay, and you're drowning, and you're holding the rock, and they're throwing you a life preserver, and they're throwing you a life preserver, and they say drop the rock. You've got to drop the rock. You have to grab the life preserver. And I'm in the water holding on to the rock because this is my rock. This is the thing I know. This is what I've gone to for all these years. And it isn't until I drop that rock and I grab that life preserver, which is God, that I am, you know, surrendering these defects of character.
Right.
And it's not, it is certainly not just sitting idly and saying, okay, Jesus, just come right in and change me. That our part in it is to say, I am willing, Lord. I am willing. The way I'm doing it isn't working. I mean, mm-hmm. no wonder why I was agitated and full of fear and always feeling bad about myself. I was worn out because I was trying to do God's part in the healing and growth process. But being entirely ready is to let God be the controller and the life changer in my life and in the lives of others.
Yeah, and Kathy, I'm sure you're going to want to add something here, but on top of all this, you grew up in a Christian home, in an evangelical setting,
mm-hmm.
where
mm-hmm.
I got to believe, because Christians are Christians, that the do more, try harder thing was a part of your past at some point. So I don't know if step six was particularly hard for you or just incredibly enlightening when it dawned on you that there was a different way to do this, but I'm sure you have some things you want to share as well.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. I certainly was raised in a Christian home with the truths of the scripture. What I internalized was that my job in life was try to be pleasing to God, you know, and that was me trying to follow the rules, trying to love God more, love people more, get irritated less. And I didn't understand, I never absorbed personally that it was a life that was exchanged with Christ, that I had, when I received Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, and I confessed that I was a sinner, and I asked for his forgiveness and asked him to come in and be Lord of my life, that he took that old life away. It no longer existed. Now it's a dead person. That person is dead and buried. And what was resurrected in me is actually the life of Christ. So he's the only one that can actually live the Christian life. And he lives in me and has made my spirit alive. That concept was a foreign concept in my understanding as a younger believer. And, you know, even up until I was, when Lisa and I met, it was about the time I started understanding, oh, you mean it's not me trying harder to do what God tells me to do. It is Christ in me working out this salvation that he's given me. And what he's doing is he's helping this as I focus on him, his love for me, his power, and I agree to respond as he asks me to obey. Then those things that have held me in bondage, they kind of fall off. It's not me focusing on the character defects. and trying really hard to get better, you know, try harder, get better tomorrow kind of a thing. Because there's a reality that's a universal reality, and that is what we focus on, we empower. So am I going to focus on God, his love for me, his incredible power to work out everything, and like you said, Philippians 1:6, work out everything that he's created in me, he's going to finish that work, or am I going to focus on, God, I'm anxious again, now stop it, stop worrying, don't get irritated with that person, you really need to try harder not to, you know, whatever the issue is, stop being addicted to food, to substances, just try harder. That is, when I focus on that, that just leads to despair and more addiction, because I'm empowering what I'm looking at.
I'm hesitating to bring it up, but I'm going to say it anyway. I saw an episode of Intervention over the weekend. It's a show where they, you know, help people who are struggling with substance abuse, and I just happened to get watching it, and I couldn't turn away. It was a young man struggling with meth addiction and really ultimately had deep father wounds. You know, he was trying to earn his dad's favor and felt in his life like he was continually failing. So to cover the pain, he eventually started abusing drugs and alcohol, and then eventually crystal meth, and a tragic story. Then what's interesting is today on Family Talk with James Dobson, Christian singer David Meese was talking about the relentless abuse that he endured at the hands of an alcoholic father. And, you know, the reason I'm bringing these things up is because people who are listening right now may have never been to a 12-step program, but they've got some kind of pain in their past, some kind of wound, some kind of brokenness that led to inappropriate behaviors of some kind, whether it be with food or gambling or alcohol or drugs or codependency. What's the word I'm looking for? OCD, you know, kind of a perfectionism, hyper-spirituality. It takes a variety of forms. But anyway, we realize that our behavior is out of control because there's something underlying this problem. And all along, we've been trying to fix it. We've been trying to find a way out of this mess. And here we are at step six. And the answer is we need to learn how to surrender and let God take it from here. So when we come back, let's dig in some more and see where we go with it. But Kathy Gray and Lisa Thomas are our guests today. They're co-authors of the book called Light in Our Darkness, which I encourage you to get copies of at Christian bookstores or Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Or go to lisakratzthomas.com, K-R-A-T-Z, lisakratzthomas.com, for a copy of Light in Our Darkness. And I think we'll be giving away a copy during the course of our conversation today as well. So if you join us, you'll be eligible to win, and we'll grab a name from a hat later and send you a copy of Light in Our Darkness. But I want to know how this strikes you, and if you have any questions along the way, feel free to join us. But, you know, ultimately, in this process of letting God take our problems from us, letting God have control in such a way that he can do the fixing that's necessary to heal us, what have you, and I'm talking to the listeners here, what have you found to be as some of the major obstacles in that process? And I got to believe pride for one, fear perhaps, I don't know. But I want to know, as you've come to the end of yourself and realized you couldn't and that God was going to have to, and hopefully he could because you weren't even sure yet, what was that process like for you? Some of you have been down the road of a 12-step program. You've been at this step, and you've got a story to tell, so we want to hear it. Others, maybe just considering the reality that this is where you need to go because you've tried harder and you've done more and you continue to fail. You're not seeing freedom, and you know that you're going to have to find it in Christ alone. So feel free to join us at any point. I'm opening the phone lines here, and if you want to jump on board at any point with a question or comment, please do so. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. For you, what would be an obstacle to letting God just take your problem from you and heal you in the process? What holds you back? 800-684-2848 or 883-5000.
I surrender all to you, everything.
Let's kick it up a notch. Phone lines are open, and we're waiting to hear from you.
800-684-2848 or 883-5000. I want to get to Ken here real quick, if I can. And you had, I guess it's a comment, Ken, for Lisa and Kathy. What's up?
Hey, Neil.
Hey.
Well,
It's not a mystery that I suffered from addiction and for many years, and I think that we hear a lot of talk about engaging conversation, but we rarely hear talk about engaging conversation on the disease model versus the sin model of addiction. And it used to be a popular topic in the early 2000s. I actually went from drug trafficking to organized crime to prostitution to back to drug trafficking and then back to church. And then I ended up studying to be an addictions counselor at the best university in Canada for the subject, McMaster University. And I took some classes on crisis intervention, took some classes, all sorts of classes, in which would normally fall under the social sciences, I guess, and psychology of the addict and addiction behavior. And I find I was also a facilitator in the Freedom Session. I was a facilitator in the CR program for many years. Done those steps, and you rarely hear Christians engage people on the topic of the disease model of addiction versus the sin model of addiction. And I think it's important, if we're going to call ourselves Christian, our argument is based on the fact that Jesus Christ suffered and died on the cross and rose again to save us, and if we're going to give him our sins, then we have to believe that we don't suffer from diseases, we suffer from sin. And so I gave Christ all of my sin when I was fed up and broken and finally bankrupt, morally, physically, mentally, and he saved me, and he's rebuilding me. And yes, it takes a long time, but we need, if we're going to address a problem, we have to address it adequately, I believe. And I find it's a shame to the Christian community that a lot of people are not referring to the because both Freedom Sessions from Vancouver and CR from California, from Saddleback, which is all over the world now, and I've attended some of their classes in French and English, both refer to the fact that man suffers from sin, but you rarely hear it spoken of, though.
Okay. Lisa, Kathy, your comments. Ken makes a good point here. How would you respond? I'll start with Lisa.
Well, Ken, first of all, thanks for calling in. We really appreciate it. It's just great to get other viewpoints on things. And I do appreciate what you're saying. And I do think it is hard for Christians, if I understand you correctly. It is difficult for Christians to look at this as a disease because they feel that we've made these decisions, we've made bad choices, we've just walked in our sin, and there are defects, and that's what we want to do. But, you know, I look at Jesus, and Jesus died not just for our sins, but he died to heal us from every malady. And if that's the case, if addiction, which I believe does have a mental, a component that is a mental illness, that addiction, we can be healed from that. And our actions, because of that disease, are still our responsibility now. So as God heals us, we have to make sure, just like a diabetic has to take their insulin, and just like a cancer patient may have to have chemo, I have to make sure that I'm doing my part, again, in arresting this disease and continuing to surrender my behavior because of it to God.
Okay. Now, mm-hmm. to clarify, Lisa, when you were going through the 12-step, was God talking to you about sin in your life as well as your addiction, which seems like you're calling more of the disease or malady part?
God is talking to me about everything. And the thing is, I mean, it's such a crossover. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, we can look at this clinically, and yes, it is an ism. It is something. It is the disease of addiction. But I also believe that it's a spiritual disease. It's not a, it has a mental illness component, but it's a spiritual disease. At the core of this addiction, it is a spiritual disease. And that is one of the things that, that people do like to debate about. And the way I look at it is, it doesn't really matter. I mean, it really doesn't matter. What matters is that Jesus can heal you anywhere you hurt. He can heal. He can heal the emotional part of your disease. He can heal the mental. He can heal the sin aspect. It's kind of splitting hairs. I do believe that calling it a disease is also opens up the opportunity for people to get the help they need. And I do believe that it is. And it's a spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical disease. And it is, when we talk about a spiritual disease, the synonym of that is sin.
Okay, Kathy.
Yeah, oh, Lisa, you did an amazing job with that. You know, if we're going to put it in scriptural terms, and both Lisa and I feel like there's abundant evidence that the 12 steps are based out of the book of James on scripture. She brought up a great point. Jesus died for our diseases and our infirmities. He took those into his body. So he is the solution, whether it is a disease, whether it's a sin issue, he died for our sins as well. And even just saying sin is a little bit simplistic. I really appreciate Ken bringing this up, though, because it is a debated topic, and it can be perceived that if someone is calling this a disease, that they're not taking responsibility for acting out based on the disease, and they're not taking responsibility for the sin, which nothing could be further from the truth in the 12 steps that I've studied and that Lisa's been part of, because, you know, even a person that's in a blackout in alcoholism is takes responsibility for what they have done when they're blacked out and they don't even remember it. There's a huge component of personal responsibility for wrongdoing. But, you know, in the scripture, I believe there's four different root words for sin, and one of those is iniquity. And if we want to talk about a disease, iniquity is, because alcoholism runs in family lines, iniquity is that twisted, it means to be bent. It's a twisted way of perceiving life and operating in life. And as opposed to transgression, which is when I knowingly cross someone else's boundaries and do something that and take from them what isn't mine to take. So, or trespassing, I'm sorry, not transgression. Transgression is also a knowing sin. This is like just the whole way that an addict or a codependent thinks. It is a it's a bent. It's a way of looking at life that is not the way that God set it up. So in that sense, it is a disease. In alcoholism, they say it's a physical allergy, a mental obsession, and a spiritual malady. So there's all three components, like Lisa was expressing very well. So.
Even, you know, because he commented that it's been a process. He surrendered his life to Christ, but it's been a process to see God work these things out in his life. Jesus died to forgive us of sin, no doubt about it. But he also died to heal our diseases. And so our I'm thinking about some of the behaviors I've been involved in my life, and I had to ask God to forgive me of the sin. But that didn't mean I was better, because I had to learn how to live differently. And that really might have something more to do as well with the renewing of our mind, the transforming of our mind, you know, the whole sanctification process. I think somebody used that word earlier. So, you know, just saying, wow, Lord, I've been an addict for 20 years. Forgive me for that. Doesn't mean we've learned how to live differently. It's forgive me for that. And I thank you that your forgiveness was made available to me based on everything you did at Calvary. But then the power to change, the power to live differently and to have my mind renewed, that was also secured by your death, burial, and resurrection. And I want to avail myself of that stuff now. Thank you for forgiving me, but now I want to learn how to live differently. And that, so, but I agree with Kathy 100%, and I'm sure Lisa would say the same. I think what Ken's really getting at, my guess, is that some people just want to call stuff a disease, and that takes the responsibility away for the fact that it is sinful behavior in the eyes of God, and that
yeah.
and that there's something that's wrong and needs to change. It's like we want to absolve ourselves and just, hey, doc, give me a pill to fix this because I have a disease, and that's not really the issue. All right, we got to take a break. We're going to catch up again. Ken, thanks for your phone call. By the way, Psalm 103, verses 2 through 4 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his kind deeds. Mm-hmm. He who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases, mm-hmm. who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with loving devotion and compassion." So amen to that. All right, ladies, great job handling that, and we'll be back with more of NBL in just a moment here on WDCX. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. There's lots more to come. And if you want to join us with any kind of a question or comment, feel free to do so. Step 6 today, talking about the 12 steps and ultimately coming to a place where we are entirely ready to let God fix these problems that we've identified in our lives.
But I still wrestle with the old me. You know who I am.
In the social media world of selfies, likes, and shares, NBL is your lifeline for real talk about real stuff.
All my mistakes woven through my story. All the mess I make, God use it for your glory. Every wrong turn, it's true. Let me right here to you. I may lose my way. Nothing's greater than your grace. Not even my mistakes. Oh, not even my mistakes. Ooh. Every heart fall back in yesterday. Every stumble that I've yet to make.
Let's get back to it here with Lisa Kratz Thomas and Kathy Gray, co-authors of the book Light in Our Darkness. We've been talking about 12-step programs, but most importantly about the biblical basis for the 12 steps. And one of the things I've heard from each of you today, I think on the air and then also in some prior conversation, you know, when we were getting ready and stuff, that this is one of the most difficult steps. And Kathy, I know for sure you said that. So
mm-hmm.
Why do you say that step 6 is one of the hardest?
Well, because it gets down to the core of how I think I'm going to live a life that's joyous, happy, and free, and free from these addictions and all of the maladies that we're talking about. And the core of who I think I am affects how I approach these problems. So, for instance, if I really think if I just try harder, which most of us tend to do because we have been trying on our own for years, if I just try harder, do a little more effort, do a little more, I'm going to figure this thing out. And it's a self-reliance thing because we truly don't get that we are sons and daughters that are completely accepted and loved by God. And totally nothing we can do can increase that love or decrease that love, and that he's provided everything that we need already. We just need to rely on him for it, ask him for it. That's very hard to grasp. We just find vestiges of it everywhere, and we don't even know we're thinking it. We think, yeah, I got that. I got it. I'm totally loved. I'm a daughter of the king. You know, he's providing everything. Until I find I'm relying on myself, and I guess I did. I really don't trust him that he's that good.
Right, Lisa, your thoughts. And by the way, maybe one of you, I'll throw it to Lisa here, but be thinking about it in a real practical way. What's this look like in real life? Like, what's it look like to think we're trusting God when we're really not trusting God? And maybe one of you could give an example. But Lisa, anything else you want to add here?
Well, you know, some people might just say, quit thinking the way you do. Just quit thinking that way. Find some other way to modify your behavior. But you see, here's the thing. Alcohol and drugs starved me emotionally. When I started drinking and using, I was 13, and my emotional and spiritual growth stopped when I started drinking alcoholically, because that's what I went to fill me up. So when I had, there's a hole in all of us, and we've heard this many times. There's a hole in our soul, and I tried to fill it with booze, with drugs, with sex, with criminal behavior. And still, the loneliness was there. The hopelessness was still there. And it wasn't until I realized that God is the only thing that can fill that. And here's the thing. When you're working these steps, you know, you look at step 4 and 5, you know, we start to believe through that and that God really is with us. And when we believe that God is with us and that obsession is lifted from us, it like from right underneath our nose, we realize that God is doing for us that no human power could have. There's just no human power that could have done it.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, what this did for me was, when I started acting out in my defects, let's say one of them was lying. That was a huge defect for me. I was a professional liar, and I started lying at age 5 because I felt so bad about myself that I thought if I could control somebody else, it would make me feel better. And it did, even if it was only for the moment that I was standing there lying to them. But that lying was such a partner in my life. It was the fabric from which I was cut. And so when I had to surrender lying, I had to believe. I had to be focusing on what is the positive aspect of me letting go of this thing that I have done my whole life. And, you know, here's the thing. You know, sometimes we just have to, we have to trick our minds. We have to keep, we have to formulate ways of, you know, taking in these different concepts. And so that's what I would say to myself. Okay, I have a choice here. I can either lie about this or I can do it God's way. And because I started to trust God, because I was believing that God could remove this stuff from me, he removed the obsession from me. Are you kidding? I mean, if he could remove the obsession after 13 consecutive years of drinking and drugging every single day, I had a real strong hope and belief that if I just did it his way, when I could realize that, okay, then things started to turn out better. And just like Kathy had mentioned, you know, what you focus your mind on becomes your reality. And so I started focusing on the fact that God was good, he was pure, he was holy, he was righteous. And those things started to manifest in my life when I could actually surrender to the better way of doing it, which is God's way.
Kathy, your thoughts?
Yeah, that's perfect. That love starvation, Lisa, that is such a great way of putting that, because, you know, Lisa's talking about when she started drinking. I would say for me, when I started panicking and feeling abandoned personally, like I didn't think God was there for me, in my fear, I became love starved because I moved away from God. I didn't move toward that perfect source of love. So I filled the hole in my soul by trying to be good enough, by having other people recognize that I'm okay, by doing things to keep people from leaving me, which is managing and manipulating, mothering, playing the martyr. These patterns were very ingrained in me. And I had to start believing that God was going to fill that hole with himself. And that's what step 6 is. It's entirely ready to have who? God. So I'm turning towards God. And step 7 follows that even further, where I'm going to God to fill that hole instead of manipulating the people around me, trying to pressure them to agree with me so that I could feel okay, that kind of thing.
You know, I've done similar things in my own life, and I would call that idolatry, which is in fact sin. Mm-hmm. So to play into what Ken was saying earlier, And I had to confess it as such, but then learn the process of what it meant to live differently and to begin to trust him. And like Lisa was saying, you know, begin to focus on truth, the truth of who God is and who we really are in his kingdom and what his word says to us, and let that be the focus of where our mind goes. But, man, there's so much to talk about. We got to catch up. Hang on a second. We'll be back. Don't go away. Kathy Gray and Lisa Thomas are with us. They're co-authors of Light in Our Darkness. If you want to join us at any point, anything you want to say, because you know what? The bottom line is some of you are stuck just kind of doing the same thing over and over again, thinking you're going to be able to change your behavior and find freedom from whatever has had you in its grip, and it's just not working. Let's talk about it. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000.
Want to be more than just a listener? Here's suggestion number 3 on how to become an actual NBL participant. Support our advertisers.
Back again on a Monday edition of NBL, and if you'd like a copy of Light in Our Darkness from Lisa Thomas or Kathy Gray, feel free to give us a call, and your participation will qualify you. We'll put your name in a hat and make a copy available, because we've been doing this now. This is probably our 7th week. We started out with sort of an overview, and now into step 6 as we talk about the 12 steps. But one of the things that jumps out here, and Lisa, you identified this earlier, is that step 6 is about being entirely ready. Now, I know you're going on vacation tomorrow and you're entirely ready for that, right? But in the meantime, let's keep it here for a second. What does it mean to be entirely ready to let God remove all of these defects of character?
Well, God sure has shown me how to be entirely ready for everything in my life. So here's the thing. I think there's a story, a great story in John chapter 5, where Jesus heals a lame man. So you have this man who's been laying by the pool of Bethesda, not for 38 days, not for 38 months, but for 38 years. And, you know, this man's problem had become his way of life.
Mm-hmm.
See, and that's the key. His problem had become his way of life. And, you know, he started to get trapped in his victimization, and he had lost hope. So he'd been laying there for 38 years, couldn't get into the healing waters. And I'm sure it was like, oh, I just can't do this. I just can't get close to the pool. I mean, every time the angel comes down and dips his wing, I just can't get there. And I just love Jesus. I mean, I love how Jesus cuts through all the fluff. He's just, but he does it with love. It's just so amazing. He walks up to this guy. He doesn't say anything. He just says, do you want to get well? The man looks up and he says, then get up and follow me. Are you entirely ready to get well? I mean, that's what he was asking him. Look, dude, you've been laying here 38 years. Either you're ready or you're not. And I love that illustration because, you know, what happens is the pain of acting out our defects, it will become greater than the relief that they supply. And when the pain is greater than the relief that you get, that is when you are ready to roll up that mat and start walking. I mean, that's where the rubber hits the road. And and Jesus reminds us all of the time. Look in all of the miracles that he did. And there, and listen, you know, being brought from total darkness into light is a miracle. I mean, it is a miracle. It is still a miracle today, 28 years later, that mm-hmm. I don't think about a drink when I get up. It's a miracle that I don't drink. It's a miracle that I practice honesty. It's a miracle that I don't gossip. It's a miracle. Those things are miracles. And so when I look at that, I have to realize that you know, Jesus, he met me and he said, okay, Lisa, here's your chance. Roll that mat up and follow me.
See, this goes back to why I was so excited about having this series as a part of what we do here on NBL and kicking it off at the new year, because there are people who for 38 days, but probably 38 weeks or months, but more likely 38 years, have been struggling with something that they can't let go of, and it's a secret addiction, some kind of a behavior. It's an inappropriate relationship with food that's kept them in bondage, and they just can't seem to find their way out. And, you know, like, to call it a major addiction or put it in the category of somebody who's, you know, like on their deathbed addicted to crystal meth or something, we like to distance ourselves. Like, well, I just have a little problem with eating too much or something. And we make it feel more antiseptic, like a little more acceptable or something. But the truth is, we've been in the grip of something for way too long, and we haven't been able to find our way out. So this is, you know, the beginning of the year is when people make all of their New Year's resolutions and stuff. And then, you know, I think they say by day 17 is the day most people fall off the bandwagon. For some reason, that's like the national average or something. And then here we are again the next year, and the problems aren't going away. So, Lisa, for you, it's a miracle that you can wake up today, all these years later, and not think about drinking. And Kathy, I want to give you a chance to react to this as well. But this is exactly, this step actually brings into focus exactly why I wanted to do it in the first place. Because somehow we need to get to that place of being able to say, I am entirely ready to be changed by God. So your thoughts, Kathy?
Yeah, I love this scripture that Lisa pulled out because I thought about it a lot too. This guy's laying there, and it never occurs to him that there is any other solution to his problem but for an angel to come down and for him to get into the pool first. And that's how many of us are. We can't even imagine the options that we have. And that's when God comes in and says, take responsibility. I'm here. Get up. And, you know, for years, for instance, in my life, I couldn't imagine not blaming other people for what I thought was wrong with my life. You know, I just thought, you know, I'm this victim. I'm a victim of anxiety. Mm-hmm. I'm a victim of fear. That's not true. I had people tell me in the 12 steps of recovery, the rooms of 12 steps recovery, take responsibility for your own life. You know, you're responsible for your own happiness, regardless of what you've experienced. And then they showed me how to go to God or to have those things met where I didn't know how to do that before. And, you know, I remember, I think I might have shared this in like the first show this series, but the first big miracle for me was I was really in a lot of torment about not being able to fix broken relationships. And it was about midnight, and I called my sponsor, and she was a night owl, and I was, like, literally shaking. I thought, I'm just going to be having panic attacks all night long because I'm realizing I can't fix this. And she said, well, you just need to let go and let God. And I'm like, I don't even know how to do that. You know, like, there's no option. I don't know I can get up and roll up my mat and walk away, right? I think someone else has to fix this for me. And she says, I said, I really don't know how to do that. And she said, well, just get on your knees, tell God your problem, and turn it over to him, and that's it. And I'm like, that's too simple, you know, and I'm sure it's not going to work. I'm just, like, really upset with her. But I'm like, whatever, thanks. Thanks for the free advice. And, you know, I hang up the phone, and I thought, well, I don't have any other options right now. I might as well do that. So I get on my knees, and I tell God, you know, like, I was used to praying really fluently and with lots of great words because I was raised in Christianese, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And this time I just was like, okay, so I don't know what to do with these relationships, God, so I'm turning it over to you. Amen. It's the most ineloquent prayer I've ever prayed. I get up. And I'm literally shaking, like my body is shaking. And I go get a drink of water, and I walk around for a couple of minutes, and I think, well, I might as well lay down. I know I'm not going to sleep, but, you know, I'll lay down. Next thing I know, it's morning, and I am perfectly fine. Wow. And I had never had that happen. I was always looking for someone, a person outside myself, a circumstance outside myself, to make me feel better about myself. And that's when you become entirely ready to have God give you another option than you know
that you had. And that's what I love about that John 5 story, is because it never occurred to him. And these things never occur to us until we have someone in our face saying, quit blaming other people and take responsibility. Turn it over. And you're like, oh, I've actually never tried that.
So, Kathy, let's go back to you for a second. And I know you just shared a lot, but one more quick thing here before our break, and then I'm going to throw it to Lisa as well. Because I really strongly sense that we've got people listening right this second who realize they've been laying by the pool for 38 years dealing with some kind of issue that they're not really dealing with. The problem hasn't gone away. They haven't found the victory they're looking for. And it's time for change. And they either know they're entirely ready or know they need to be entirely ready for Jesus to take this thing. But it's kind of confusing. Like Kathy, you were saying, you didn't even know what that look like. You didn't even know what to do. So just speak to that person for a second, because I think we've got a lot of people listening right now who are in this place, and it's why we're doing this conversation in the first place, why we're doing this series. So speak to those hearts.
Yeah. So if you're in a place where you have been wounded, you are in patterns of either addiction or addicted to other people and to their approval, keeping them in your life, they're just not behaving the way that you want them to behave, they're not loving you well enough, they're not paying attention to your needs, you're feeling rejected by friends, you feel like you have to manipulate in order to keep friends. If you're feeling that way, I am telling you, there is a better way. And God really can free you from those patterns. And, you know, we're on step six right now, but one of the tools that has worked the best in my life is walking through these steps, working them one at a time. And then at this step six, you develop an ability to have some hope that God actually can show you a better way. So I encourage you to get around people who have found an actual solution, who really aren't into manipulating other people, who aren't addicted to drugs and alcohol, who aren't addicted to pornography, who have found their way out of that. I don't mean they just don't struggle with it, but they've found their way out of that. Get around those people. I really encourage you to do some sort of 12-step recovery, because the solution really lies in the steps, and those steps are based on biblical truths.
Yeah, and I want to say, feel free to pick up the phone and call us, and we'll pray for you right now, because I think you're at a pivotal point. Lisa, anything you want to add to that before our break?
Well, I would just say quickly, is your way working? I mean, is your way working? And each of us can answer that. If your way, if what you're doing is not working, if you do not get any relief from your behavior, and here's the thing, you know, a defect is not necessarily the whole big, I can't stop eating, I can't stop drinking. No, a defect is, do you lie and does it destroy relationships? Do you show superiority because you have low self-worth? Are you angry all the time? Mm-hmm. But really, that's fear. Do you intimidate to get your own way? See, for me, I was in an abusive relationship for 10 years. I was intimidated constantly. And I picked up intimidation as a way of survival. So when people would come close to me and want to care about me, my mind was, they're going to hurt me. That's a character defect. It came through the way I was living my life as, you know, as an addict and an alcoholic. But my defect was, I'm going to intimidate you so you don't hurt me. And what step six after going through 4 and 5 and getting rid of the resentments and the fears and the behavior, you know, confessing all that, what I realized was that the only way that I could let go of that, the only way I could do it, was to let God help me. Because if God could help me quit drinking, he could help me quit intimidating people.
It's huge. All right, so some of you right now know that we're talking about you, and that's not because we're trying to pry into your life or something. I just believe that it's God and his providence and the Holy Spirit that have put the finger on you and said, look, it's time for change. What you've been doing hasn't been working. And there's freedom available. There's healing available. But it's time to say, I need some help. I don't know what your stuff is about. You don't even have to be very specific if you don't want. You can change your name if you'd like. But some of you may be dealing with some kind of substance abuse. Maybe it's behavioral stuff, relationship stuff like Kathy was describing. Could be gambling. It could be, honestly, even stuff people consider to be good. Like, you may be a workout freak that spends, you know, 40 hours a week in the gym because you have to feel like you got to look a certain way, and you realize you're in bondage to that. I don't know exactly what it is you might be going through. For others, it could be hyper-spirituality or perfectionism or OCD. And you know, there's a lot swirling around there. And you know down deep something's not right. But you've been trying to fix it in your own strength. It's time to give it to God. And I want to invite you to join us here. If you want us to pray for you, if you want us to talk about it with you, we'll be happy. And you can change your name if you want. Use an alias if you'd like. But I want to let you know that you are welcome to join the conversation here, because I think God is speaking to hearts, and that might be you. So your knees are knocking. It's okay. It's just us. We'll be happy to pray with you and encourage you and talk to you about what you're facing. Are you entirely ready for God to remove the defects of character he's been showing you for a long time? We want to talk about that as we continue discussing Step 6 with Lisa Thomas and Kathy Gray.
No, I'm not backing down. The devil is a liar.
Maybe you should just quit trying harder. I have news for you. It doesn't work.
You know, one of the things that I asked at the outset of the conversation is, what's holding you back from just surrendering to God? And that's something only you can answer. But, you know, what are the obstacles you did face that seem to keep you from surrendering, if now, in fact, you have come to a place of letting God take control totally in this area of your life, whatever that thing happens to be? Others may still be at the precipice saying, I just can't yet. I'm afraid. Fill in the blank. What's holding you back? But we've got plenty to talk about here. And if you have a question or comment you'd like to share, phone lines are open. 800-684-2848. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Zach, man, nailing it again with devil is a liar. So absolutely. He's on board with what we're doing here. Guys, when you're out and about and you're talking about this kind of stuff with other people, you seem to be very free telling your stories. Do you get to a place where transparency comes more natural? Because early on, I mean, you know, people join Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous. They don't want to be known because there's shame attached to so much of this. And yet you both seem to speak very freely about your own stories. Lisa, let me throw it to you and find out what you have to say about that.
Well, what I found is that when you speak about it, it takes away the power. It takes away the power of Satan. He lives in secrets. And so when you, the longer you stay in 12-step recovery and the more you work these steps, the closer you become to God. And when you get close to the Lord, he reminds you of who you are, why he created you, you know, what your destiny is. And so what shame wants to do is to keep you in that bondage of seclusion. And, you know, I like the concept that vulnerability is the launching point or the birthplace to letting go of shame. Because here's the thing, when you become vulnerable and you're depending only on the grace of God and only on his promises, that's when he can use you the most. And I have found that you know, I share my testimony a lot in different venues, and every time I try to deviate from my presentation or the workshop or anything I'm doing, every time I try to deviate from the basis and the foundation being my testimony, mm-hmm. it flops. It totally flops. Mm-hmm. So what I have learned is this, is that there is power
in transparency, and it scares the living daylights out of Satan. He wants us to hide. He wants to devour us. He wants to tell us we're no good. We'll never be good enough. And man, when you stand up and you share your story, whether it's bits and pieces or all of it in the appropriate way, you just squash his head. And it's like, there's just something about that. It's like, you know what? You tried. I'm always up for a good fight, man. And I'm like, you know what? You have tried my whole life to keep me in a place of bondage. But guess what? God says that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And just like the song we heard a couple weeks ago by Taryn Wells, that I am known, I'm fully known and loved by God. So there you go.
Wow. Yeah. And Kathy, for you, this had to be doubly hard because your part of your thing was appearing to have your act together, like almost the super Christian kind of thing that we fall prey to at times. But so much of that and the perfectionism and caring what other people thought about you was wrapped up in it, that to have to turn around and say, but guess what? I needed help and I need help. I don't know. That couldn't have been easy.
You know, I'm not sure if it's easier than anybody else's. I was convinced that my strengths were what made me acceptable, and therefore I was covering up my weaknesses. I was so ashamed. You know, part of my story is that I suffered from tormenting, extremely vivid nightmares until I was around 29. And it was just, you know, so embarrassing to me. And it was something, that particular thing is something that I didn't really have control over. But, you know, Lisa and I have said it on this show before, you're only as sick as your secrets. And that is so true. And the thing is that we think that we're so unique. I, you know, even heard it from somebody the other day. I'm just so unique. My struggles and the way that I think, and you know, you get in the rooms of 12-step recovery, and they just kill that thing. That's called terminal uniqueness. And so when I share my story, and I especially share the things that were so shameful to me, my anxieties, my failure to perform in life, my just, you know, inability to even function at certain points, and really struggling with panic, those things, when I share those, that's what, like Lisa said, that's when I get the greatest response from people, because there's like, that's exactly how I feel, but nobody ever talks about it. And so actually the vulnerability and the sharing of what we have failed at and what we felt the most shame over is one of the greatest gifts that we can give to people around us. Because we know we're not terminally unique. Jesus died for everyone and for every sin and every malady. And so we know we're not there alone. We know everyone is dealing with something. So it's a good point that you bring up, Neil, but I think it's a real lie from the devil. You got to keep this quiet. Don't let anybody know. You know, as soon as they know, they're going to reject you.
It's so true. So I'm looking at the clock here and thinking when we come back from our break, we'll have a little more time to delve into where I think we need to go next. But let's just break now. It's probably a good time. And repeat the phone number. It's 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. So honored to have Kathy Gray and Lisa Thomas with us for this 12-step series that we've been doing. We're on step 6 today. That after, you know, in step 4, making a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, then in step 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. In other words, we verbalized the sin, the weakness, the brokenness, the defects, the inappropriate behaviors. In step 6 says we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Lisa talked earlier about the paralytic, you know, by the pool at Bethesda, 38 years lying there, and apparently wasn't ever really ready to be healed till Jesus confronted him face to face and said, are you ready for me to do something about this? So get up and walk. You know, do you want to be healed? It's why we're doing the series, because I think far too many in the body of Christ kind of languish in a place of, you know, brokenness or secret sin or addictions or failure of some kind that we're afraid to bring to the light. In fact, we're afraid to bring to God himself, even though, by the way, he knows it's there. There's no surprises. He knows who we are and what we're struggling with, and he's inviting us to come to him so we can find freedom. What's it going to take to be entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character? Some of you have been at that place, and you've got a story to tell about how God set you free, about how you finally gave up and let him have full control, how you surrendered everything you've been working on to him so that he could do his work on you. And it made all the difference in the world. If you've got a story to tell about that, feel free. Remember that everyone who joins us has an opportunity to win a copy of the book, and we'll be giving away a copy a little bit later on. Some of you may be at that precipice, and your heart's pounding, and you're realizing it's time for change because you've been struggling with something that no one else really even knows about. And as I think it was Lisa said, we're only as sick as our secrets. It's all coming to light today, and that's what God's speaking to your heart about. So that's why we're here, and it's no accident that you happen to be listening. Phone lines are open, 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Again, toll free, it's 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Back with Lisa Thomas and Kathy Gray in just a moment on a Monday edition of NBL.
Something got you in its grip? Have you met the Chainbreaker?
But the question is, do you believe it? Because the world is filled with people like, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but the Dr. Phils and the Oprahs and, you know, best-selling authors and all kinds of people who have ideas about how you can fix your life, including many of your own ideas. And you got the devil, who's a liar. We heard that last time we came back from a break, saying, whatever you do, don't turn to Jesus. You can do this. You know, don't tell anyone else. Pray for you. Don't come clean about your struggle, because somehow or another you'll be able to do this on your own. And what that really amounts to is we don't believe that Jesus can break every chain. But here we are at step six, where we are entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Lisa Thomas and Kathy Gray are best-selling authors and co-authors of the book Light in Our Darkness, Deception, Murder, and Unexpected Grace. They've been a part of this 12-step series with us. And I want to get to some phone calls here. And Veronica is going to be the first. And then Nancy right after that. But Veronica, welcome to NBL. How are you?
Oh, thank you. I'm doing very well. And you?
Doing good. So you called in. You had a comment to make about our conversation today, and I'd love to know what's on your mind.
Well, you know, I'm just driving, and I am so excited about this topic, because I believe in it. I'm part of it. This is my third year with the Celebrate Recovery here. And what brought me to Celebrate Recovery was I was an alcoholic, a binge drinker. And you know, I would try to stop. I would try to stop drinking, you know, and if I succeeded a day, then I would go for 2 days. And if I succeeded for 2 days, then I would go for 3 days. And that's as far as I could get. And, you know, I kept trying, and I couldn't do it. So, and, you know, every morning, you know, after drink, and it started every night. And, you know, and every morning I hated that feeling of, you know, I would beat myself up for, okay, here I did it again. You know, I didn't want to do it.
Right.
And every night I would say, well, you know, I'm going to stop at maybe the fourth drink. And then, you know, I would end up maybe fifth or sixth, you know, glass of wine every night. And I thought, okay, that's all that it is. But then, you know, after a while, you know, the Holy Spirit said, no, it's a first glass that, you know, you need to deal with.
Well, you know,
but what happened was, you know, I my father drowned when I was a year old, and my mom remarried, you know, a year later.
Right.
And unbeknownst to us, he was schizophrenic, and he had a horrible childhood. And he directed all of his anger and his rage towards me. If it wasn't physically hitting me, then he would sexually abuse me or molest me.
Oh my!
And I didn't realize until just about 3 years ago that that was the root cause.
You know what?
But I became like codependent, very codependent. You know, I wanted to please people so that because I didn't feel adequate enough for anybody.
Man, I Veronica, I thought your story was directly in line with what I know about Lisa's story, and now I think that I need to introduce you to your two sisters here, Lisa and Kathy. All right, so you guys want to respond? Obviously, Veronica, real quick, you came to a place of saying you couldn't do this, right? You had to surrender. Bottom line?
Yeah, I had to surrender.
Okay.
Because it was pride that was preventing me from admitting that I couldn't do it.
Okay, so yeah. I don't know where to start. Go ahead, Kathy. Maybe?
I'll go ahead. Veronica, thank you so much for calling in and just being honest about your story. And I can hear in your voice the freedom and the joy that God has given you. It's very evident. And
I want to tell my story to everybody who wants to hear because it is such good news. It is such good news. And, I hear and see all these people struggling with their issues, and I would say, there's good news. You can be helped. There's an answer to all of this.
Amen, which is why we're doing this. So go ahead, Kathy. You were going to say?
I just see what I love about her story is she finally said, okay, I can't do this. And she talked about what she was doing. She got help. She went to a STEP program with Celebrate Recovery. And then once even the addiction was dealt with, where the drinking stopped, then God started healing all of the root issues in her life that compelled her to drink in the first place and brought healing and understanding to that. And I heard how Veronica even treated her stepfather with honor and with compassion, knowing about his terrible childhood. And that is what we're talking about. It is a scary prospect to say, I really have a problem and I need some help in dealing with it, and I don't know what there is on the other side of letting go of this behavior, but I'm sick and tired enough of being sick and tired, and I'm going to get some help.
Amen.
Veronica is just like the poster child for that, so I'm so grateful for her call.
Amen. Yeah, and we're rejoicing with you. In fact, at the end, we're going to pray about all the stuff we've discussed today, and we'll be sure to include you in that as God continues to heal you and give you opportunities to share your story, Veronica. So God bless you, and thank you so much. All right, Nancy is going to be next here, and we'll get to Frank right after Nancy. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Nancy, you got something to share? Go ahead.
Oh, hey. I came to the Lord in 1994 after coming out of some pretty, the Lord came to me. Living in religion. And, it was so amazing. Christ healed me for so many things. But I got to tell you, I've just come out of a very dark place in a church that made me feel like I was nuts. And I'm thinking, wow. So my comment is, thank you for today, because for a season, and I'm still coming out of this, I was killing the pain. I was coming home from my small group and drinking myself silly because I thought, I think I'm out of my mind. And it wasn't that. It was that people were sucking up the crap from the pulpit and not understanding that God is calling us into a life of freedom and a life to love Him in relationship and to be kind to one another and to bear each other's burdens and be transparent. And there is still so much darkness in some churches that we have to keep praying for them. Galatians is my favorite chapter right now because I think I lived it for a number of years. And we have moved, and I have found a healing church. But I have to be cognizant of the fact that I can't speak badly of Christian brothers and sisters who are in sin.
Well,
and so,
and Lisa,
you understand,
let me get
what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. But also, let me throw it to Lisa here for a second. The fact that the enemy was able to take anything, doesn't matter what it was, in this case, what I call spiritual abuse or, you know, errant teaching or something that brought her to a place of then seeking solace in a bottle as opposed to her relationship with Christ and the freedom of, you know, that we find in the truth of his word. So, Lisa, I don't know how you want to respond, but what Nancy's describing is not unfamiliar to people in the body of Christ, and yet, you know, her savior for a time was the bottle, and that can't be God's plan.
Oh, no, it's not at all. And Nancy, thanks for calling in. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate your heart towards this. And, you know, I was brought up in a religious environment and in a denomination that was very legalistic. And there were a lot of things about it that made me feel that kept me in darkness. But it also was a atmosphere that did not encourage a personal, intimate relationship with Christ. And I just believe that it's fear. It's fear on the part of the people who are involved in that particular group, church, whatever. And we know what fear is. It's false evidence appearing real. If I'm honest, if I'm transparent, somehow or another, it's going to be going against God. It's going to create a bigger problem. And that's just not true. I mean, it's just a lie. And so I think that what happens to us in step six is that we begin to allow God's Spirit to work deeper in our hearts, and it kind of routs mm-hmm. out our defects of character, and it makes changes in our behavior, and not just in our behavior, but in our attitudes, and that brings about that wholeness and that serenity. And I can tell by the way that you're not bashing the church that it's, you know, you voiced your concern.
Yep.
And you said, this is what I see. I was in darkness, and I'm coming out into the light, and mm-hmm. we need to pray for them. And see, that's God working. That's a change of attitude. That's a change of behavior. Because of ourselves, when we do it ourselves, what we do is we want to condemn so that we can feel better about what we're doing. But right. when we're really surrendering that to God, it shows that we're aligning our will up with his. And so I think that you're right on in what you're doing. I do. I think that you're involved in a group of people who are open and honest and celebrate recovery. And I think that's the key that unlocks that door of willingness.
Yeah, and we're going to need to move quickly because we have other calls to get to. But, Nancy, I'm going to send you a copy of their book called Light in Our Darkness, and everyone else can be in the contest for who gets a chance to win the book. But I want to make sure you get one, Nancy, so we're going to have to call you back and get your info unless Zachman can grab it right now. But either way, I want to make sure you get a copy of that book. Quickly, let's go to Frank, who was next, and then Susanna, if we have time after the break, we'll get to you. But we will have time after the break, but you're going to have to hold on for just a second. Running out of time here. Let's move quickly to Frank from Medina. And Frank, you had a comment to make. Go ahead.
I just wanted to let you know that a lot of people have a hard time surrendering to God because they just don't want to see what God has to show them. And it was very difficult for me at first to allow God to take control of my life, to show me what I really was and where I needed to go and where I needed to be. And the process was slow. It was hard. But in the end, I can finally say to myself and to everybody else that ever asked me how I'm doing, I can honestly say that everything is okay.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Wow. And that's what a triumphant statement that is, depending on where you've been in the past. And it sounds like Frank has struggled as many of us have, to find the freedom and the healing that's available in Christ. So quick as we go into our break, Kathy, you want to comment on what Frank just said?
Yeah, I love what he said, because what he was talking about was that basic fear. I'm afraid of what God's going to say to me if I get too close to him, because he may tell me I'm worthless, or he may tell me I need to hand something to him that I'm afraid I can't live without. And so he just perfectly talked about the fear. And you know what? God won't ask you to give up something without giving you the power and giving you something so much better in return.
Yeah, simple and direct, kind of like a prayer that Kathy prayed one night on her knees. All right. We'll be back in a moment. You know, God helps us to get to the bottom line where we simply call out to him, and amen for that. Enough with the fluff. God, we need your help. We need to surrender.
Want to be more than just a listener? Here's suggestion number two on how to become an actual NBL participant. Tell your friends to listen.
It's a great idea, and thank you all for not only listening but participating with us. I want to get back to it here, and Susanna, don't want to leave you out of the conversation, and I wish we could keep going because the phones are absolutely hopping right now, but wanted to be faithful to sneak your call in here before the top of the hour and know you had a comment to make. What's up?
I don't have a comment. I have a prayer request, I guess. Through the last couple of years, I've realized what a difficult situation I'm in, and I can't seem to get out. And I have surrendered dozens of times and asked God to take this over, etc. But I guess I just keep taking it back. So I certainly listened to the gals today, and my heart is pounding, and I feel like vomiting, but I know that that's from the enemy. So here I am on the line.
Yep.
And I am stuck.
Well, praise God for your courage, and you're in good hands. These two ladies love the Lord, and we're going to pray for you and for Veronica earlier, and thank God for what he's doing in hearts and lives and stuff. But yeah, you've come to the right place. Lisa, you want to comment on what Susanna's saying here?
Well, Susanna, I would just say that and I don't know if you have a community of people around you who are actively working something similar to the 12 steps, but, you know, it's really important to have people around you that are open and honest. There's got to be somebody that you can be absolutely, totally, 100% honest with. And I think that's the beginning of, it says in our first step, and you know, that we admit it, we were powerless and that our lives have become unmanageable. So I would definitely encourage you to try to find, 12-step, whether it's Al-Anon, AA, NA, Celebrate Recovery, something like that, that would surround you with people who are in a position to surrender their defects and openly and honestly and transparently, because that provides a lot of strength for us.
Yeah. Kathy, do you want to add anything? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just that I know God is masterful at setting up community and networks for us at just the right time. And it certainly sounds like this is a powerful time in your life, and that God, I bless you, and I am trusting God right now to provide for you the contacts, the community that you need in order to do this, not alone, but with them.
Yeah, so well said. So how about, Kathy, since we're going to talk about next week's step in just a moment, I'll throw that to Lisa. How about if I ask you to pray for Susanna? And we heard from Veronica earlier. Frank called in. Of course, there's been others today. But we've talked about a lot, and maybe if you could just kind of encapsulate some of this, and let's take it to the Lord.
Abba, Father, I thank you that your greatest heart was to reveal your love to us, and that's why you sent Jesus. And he's the first time we heard that you are our Father. And, Lord, I am praying for every single person that's listening today, and for Susanna and Veronica and Frank and the others that have been calling in. And for Neil and Lisa and myself, I pray today, Lord, that we would have an entirely new and deeper revelation of your love for us and the power of that love in our lives to cast out fear. And I, Lord, I just think of Isaiah 30, verse 20, that although we have the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, our teachers will not be hidden anymore. And with our own eyes, they will see them. And so, Father, I pray that the networks that every person needs, 12-step recovery, Celebrate Recovery, any kind of step recovery, that those networks would become readily available to them. And, Lord, that by the power of your Spirit, you would empower them to take the risk, to have the courage, to get involved, to and to be honest about where they're at. And we know, we are so confident in you that you will bring freedom, because it's for freedom that Christ died for us, to give us that freedom. So, Lord, we turn all of our lives over to you, and we are excited to see what you're going to do for us on this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And on the heels of that prayer, let me just mention, Susanna, that God is your faithful Father and advocate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you say, Lord, I'm ready to get help, would you lead me to the place? Like, just as Kathy prayed, that he would surround each person listening with the networks of people that they need. God can miraculously bring people in your path that can point you in the right direction.
Yes.
And if you want a starting point, check out celebraterecovery.ca or celebraterecovery.com. I see it looks like you're on the Canadian side. Celebraterecovery.ca, you put in a postal code and it will help you find a place. But, you know, in neighborhoods near and far, you'll run into somebody at some point that's been through a 12-step program and ask them where you go, because we don't know the nature of what it is you're dealing with. But there is help available by God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow, ladies, here we are 3 minutes after the hour and still going strong. Because, you know, the bottom line is now we're rolling. We could just keep going. But we'll leave some more for next week when we talk about step seven, Lisa, which is what?
Step seven is humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. It's all about humility and basically how humility is really the true freedom of the human spirit.
Amen. All right. So step seven next week. And I want to say, if you've just joined us, and many of you have joined us during the course of our conversation today, at the outset, I mentioned that Lisa and Kathy are going to be in our area in early April. And on Sunday, April 7th, they're going to be sharing at the City Church in Batavia. Pastor Marty McDonald has extended an invitation, and you're going to get a chance to meet them and greet them and have an opportunity to hear some more of their own story at City Church in Batavia on Sunday, April 7th. Then Monday, the 8th, they're going to be in studio with us. You guys are going to see the Zach Man working the phones there in the other room while he pulls up some of the great songs that he plays here. But love you, too, and thank you so much for joining us again. God be with you, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thank you, Neil. Thanks, Neil.
God bless. Take care. Kathy Gray, Lisa Thomas. If you want more information about them and about the book, Light in Our Darkness, go to lisakratzthomas.com, K-R-A-T-Z, lisakratzthomas.com, or find Light in Our Darkness at a Christian bookstore near you or at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.